Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
Okay, cool. So we're going to do something that is based on clean language. And clean language is a way of speaking that allows both parties to go into all the sensory systems that are natural to them without being forced to go, for example, into imagine this, and maybe I'm more of a sensing person and I don't have images that much, you know, or what are you going to feel like? And maybe I won't feel much, but I have inner voices. So it allows the listener to go wherever they want to go. Mm-hmm. So the first question is if this conversation goes exactly as you would like, Theresa, it's going to be like what?
If this conversation goes exactly, it's going to be peaceful and flowing and inspiring to anybody who listens to it, and connecting with hearts, heart spaces.
Peaceful and flowing and inspiring to everyone who listens to it. And the last bit, connecting with their heart spaces, or
yep,
coming from the heart space?
Yeah, coming from their heart space, yeah. Connecting with hearts.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. For me, if it goes exactly as I would like, it's going to be, it flows, it's alive, back and forth, it's nourishing for those listening and also for us. I would love to know that we also have a blast as we are in this shared space together. Yeah, and that we end with a sense of there's a completion. There's somehow a full circle. It makes sense within itself, and the listeners take, even if it's one thing per listener that is really like landing for them, I'll be satisfied.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah. And for you, like for this to happen the way what you described and what I described, you would like to be like what?
I would like to be open and feeling the information and the knowledge transference that you're sharing. Mm-hmm. I would like to be playful, of course. And enjoying. I like to have fun. And also making sure that I'm comprehending where you're coming from. So, you know, comprehending what's going on in with what you're sharing and what you're expressing, and that I can also express back and share experiences so that we can make those connections, even though you're on the other side of the world. And and we're really, you know, linking to the purpose of the show, which is reimagining all learning in every dimension and every space in every field. So the fact that I'm really open to that, and I'd really like to just be able to hold space for that to happen.
Oh, that gives me goosebumps. And I hope you'll say that at the very beginning of the show, this longer title. Yes, it really got to me, and I feel you so much in it. Wow. So for me, for all of this to happen, I would like to be like what? Well, a mix of clarity about what I'm bringing, so not completely lost in the joy of the conversation, but also having, my like red thread, or I don't know if you say that in this way in English, like a red thread that is connecting
Yes,
everything.
the red thread, yes.
Okay. And then also not focused on, but this is what I want to convey, but really, oh, this is where it's taking us. So also with your questions, I went through them on my own, but then who knows, maybe at some point we're going to go completely down a different road and you won't ask any further one of them, and that would be fine. So trust. Yeah.
I agree. Beautiful.
And for all of this to happen, is there any support or any resources that you need additionally to what you already have?
Support or resources. That's a really interesting question. I hadn't thought of that perspective. I feel like the support really is the word that you mentioned before, just that trust between the two of us and the integrity of the conversation. I don't actually feel like I need any resources. It's just that trust in the integrity of what we're saying at that space.
Beautiful. Yeah, and to me, I can continue that to continuously come from that place. From that place of integrity of what we're here for. And then I would want to really be sure that you ask, because sometimes, some of this, I've thought about it so much that I may condense it. And to me, it's very clear. But that you also take, which I assume you do, the position of the listener for whom some of these things are new or uncommon, and then like make me describe it, if there is such an occasion, make me describe it in more detail than with a broad brushstroke that I think is enough.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Okay. Ah. Yeah, and then I want to relax on, it's I don't always have a mic here, so that is kind of weird. I often, it's like, hello. Okay. Okay, friend. Maybe I need to decorate it in some way after our conversation.
That sounds good.
Good. So I actually brought a little story that I would like to read very early on to contribute to the tone of this conversation. And I think this does it flow to go into your first question afterwards? Let me check. I think it does, and you can.
Well, we don't have to stick with
Oh, you know what? It might actually be, yeah. Okay. You go. What did you want to say? We don't have
was
to
going to
stick
say
with it.
we don't have to stick with the questions. The questions are literally just a guide based on how
Yeah.
our conversation's going. I mean, the
Yeah.
conversation just usually flows.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I love stories. Stories are what it's all about. So if you have a story to share, then absolutely jump straight into it once we start.
So this one, I have stories to share also, but this one is actually from a book and a very, very short one-pager thing that it is related to school and that I find is such a perfect match. Yeah. Okay.
Fantastic. G'day, everybody, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. And I have such a beautiful guest with us today, who will be holding space, Mirai from Germany. And I just want to share a little bit about Mirai before I introduce her. She's an explorer of human consciousness, human communication, and human connection. And I can certainly attest to how she makes me feel when I do connect with her. She cares about freeing our spirit, and so that humans can relate and co-create from joy, men, women, mankind, and for the beautiful world for our hearts to know. So really connecting in that heart space, and she holds and facilitates space for authentic relating. And she especially loves to help uncover the treasures which are buried in situations of conflict. And this is a very important skill, particularly in today's society. So I'm really excited for Mariah to share her beautiful wisdom and transfer her knowledge to everybody that's out there listening with us today. So welcome, beautiful Mariah.
Oh, Theresa, I'm so grateful to be here. I was bubbling the last days leading up to our conversation, really. I'm here, I'm ready. I love what you're doing, what your show is about. And when I heard you say the full title for the first time, I had goosebumps all over. And learning, it's so wonderful to learn, and it can be such a chore, and really people can lose their gist for learning, and many do early on. And to change that and to make learning something in which human beings and children and also adults thrive, I care about it big time. So thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, of course, of course. I really can't wait to get into this conversation. And what I'm curious about is, of course, the fact that we're not talking about learning from our head space. It's not the intellectual learning, it's the heart space and the whole body experience, because we are more than just our brains. So I'm really interested in that. So I'm going to ask my first question, and that is about one of your passions, which was true freedom of choice. And so, what does true freedom of choice in education mean to you? And if you've got any stories to share, then that would be amazing.
So I want to start with what is the opposite of freedom of choice? And I also sometimes speak about a language free of imposition. And for that, I want to bring in definition, and that is, what does it mean actually to impose? So Merriam-Webster Dictionary says, impose, to establish or apply by authority, to establish or bring about as if by force. To force into the company or on the attention of another. And so, in our modern school system, there is a lot that is forced onto the attention of the learners that they are not open actually in that moment. So, I believe that we are kind of forced to become non-authentic, unauthentic by pretending to pay attention to something that our attention is not naturally drawn to. You know, this whole thing of sitting somewhere and wearing a mask that shows, yeah, I'm here, that we have it in online meetings, we have it in, of course, in the classroom, we have it between adults when they converse. It starts very early on, this whole thing of that we're not really showing and following where our attention is moving. And to me, freedom of choice would be, wow, I'm really interested in this, or wow, there's something that grabs me. And then, of course, while paying attention also to what's going on around me and how others are impacted, to be able to follow that. So the children of friends of mine were just 2 days ago, they had the first day in school, grade one. And he said, well, his son could probably, I don't know, jump up a class or so immediately because his son is already asking, Dad, what is 3 times 72? What is 3 times 24? And the father was like, okay, how come you're asking, but okay, and how do I get there? And so he told him 72, and the son was like, wow, we spent 72 hours at the sea. You know, that's a lot because they were on holidays. So this is, you know, this was a frame that was meaningful to this child. And this was how it was interesting for him to calculate and to engage with math and not from, you know, I don't know. Billy Ball has so many buckets of water that he carries over so many times. And what, how much is that in total? Yeah. And then freedom of choice to me also relates to everyone's true capacities, and that it's not about averaging out. And I brought a little story that I read many years ago, and I found it again on the internet, and I want to share it here. And it's about the animals that decided to do something meaningful, from the book Home Where Life Makes Up Its Mind by Chuck Swindoll. Once upon a time, the animals decided they should do something meaningful to meet the problems of the new world. So they organized a school. They adopted an activity curriculum of running, climbing, swimming, and flying. To make it easier to administer the curriculum, all the animals took all the subjects. The duck was excellent in swimming, in fact, better than his instructor. But he made only passing grades in flying, and he was very poor in running. Since he ran so slowly, he had to drop swimming class and stay after school to practice running. This caused his web feet to be badly worn, so that he was only average in swimming. But average was quite acceptable, so nobody worried about that. Except the duck, that is. The rabbit started at the top of his class in running, but developed a nervous twitch in his leg muscles because of so much makeup work and swimming. The squirrel was excellent in climbing, but she encountered constant frustration in flying class because her teacher made her start from the ground up instead of from the treetop down. She developed muscle cramps from overextension and so only got a C in climbing and a D in running. The eagle was a problem child and was severely disciplined for being a non-conformist. In climbing classes, she beat all the others to the top of the tree, but insisted on using her own ways to get there.
Oh, God. There is so much in that story. You start? Oh my goodness. That is just so true. Everybody comes with a different gift, something that's natural and innate in them, a different curiosity, and we're trying to conform. Oh, wow.
Isn't it? And in that situation, it's like everyone will say, yes, of course. And so strange that, yeah, that we allow so little difference and leeway, yeah, in how we treat humans.
And interesting that I really love the last line of making it her own way, non-complying and making it her own way, because our modern education system is all about compliance and doing what you're told and not questioning. So, you know, and even linking back to the little boy with before you read the story, talking about following his curiosity and every teachable moment. In context is also something valuable that you've shared as well. I really love that, the whole true freedom of choice. When we discussed this topic at first, I had to sit with it to feel into, do we even have freedom of choice in education, and have we ever, in within my lifetime. I'm aware that, there's different epochs and eons and situations and cultures, but for me and my personal experience, I'm not actually sure if I've ever had a true freedom of choice in an education setting that I've experienced.
Not in one that was like regulated. Like, I have had educations that I signed up myself and paid for, but in the general educational system, I don't remember that. Yeah. I personally had nightmares for years after still university and not passing the exam. And I wasn't a bad student, but still there was so much doing it for the outside instead of like, oh, this is what I'm interested in, this is what I'm passionate about. So one more thing, after my education and then studying and then entering the normal work world, and then I entered business and at some point left there because I got more and more ill and more unhappy, then I kind of went really deep. So what is truly interesting to me, and I found that the thing that connects all the bits that interest me is about human needs. And I was drawn, and I wanted to study psychology. I applied for it, but I didn't get in for certain regulatory reasons. And afterwards, I was so grateful because I went to university and I picked up the books I was interested in and I read them, and then they would have like refer to another book or reference a source, and then I would go there and from there to the next and to the next. So I would kind of make up my own curriculum. Was able to follow that, and it was not someone else sitting down thinking, oh, you know what? I think she needs to learn this now. Yeah.
And, well, being a self-directed learner is what it's all about, really. And I'm wondering, actually, I'm sitting here pondering, there is a huge movement and a swing towards home education, in the last decade. Certainly before that, but the last decade, I shouldn't say towards home education. I mean, I should be back towards, because we used to home educate. That's what the way it used to be. But the swing going back to that natural learning, so that there is a little bit more of freedom of choice and not necessarily having to, sit up and only go to the toilet on the bell, basically. Pavlov's dog thing. Which is really interesting. And so I would like to really expand on what you've introduced to talk about the shaping of language and how language shapes our perception of freedom, because language can be limiting, and it can expand us. So would you like to share your perspective on the use of language?
Very much so. I actually sat down this morning, and obviously this is an auditory conversation, so I cannot show what I drew for myself, and I will not show you because I want the challenge of conveying it in speaking. I have distinguished different levels in which we impose on ourselves or on each other, either clear, openly, or more on a hidden or unconscious level. So, open ways of imposition, for example, to me are like you must, you have to, you should. And that's very clear. There's different power positions. One is on top, the other one is below, one is leading, one is following. And we also do that with ourselves, right? We can have really unfriendly self-talk, most of us. So, yeah, like you, very much the you, and then being instructed to do something and not asking if the other one really wants that. Then there's secret impositions. And one thing that I hear so much in the last couple of years is the terminology we need. We need. Even if we would say we need more homeschooling, I could easily say that, and when we might not and agree, but is that actually true? I can say I desire for more homeschooling, or I desire a world in which more self-directed learning happens, and then especially not just parents having the burden of it on themselves, but more self-organized, smaller, community-led offerings, so that right parents are supportive
Absolutely.
to each other. Totally. So this is like a secret imposition, this terminology. We need more or less of this without actually having asked those involved if that is that they need. And it's now everywhere. Like, I hear that so often, and I sometimes I can even catch myself saying it, and usually it's to give more emphasis to what I want to say, to be less vulnerable, because to speak from myself, to be from oneself out of this individual position, it's more real, it's more authentic, but it's also it seems less powerful. Maybe it actually isn't less powerful. So that's like a secret imposition. Then there's that something I call unconscious imposition. And I got permission from my friend to share this example, and I won't even tell her name. She's a wonderful, wonderful human being from England. We recently met in Berlin. I spent a couple of days together, and she has a speaking pattern. So she would look at something, for example, in the flat that we shared, and said, "Oh, that's amazing, isn't it?" And I found myself like, "Oh, I only have two options: either yes, that's amazing, or oppose her." And I want neither, And this is also a very innocent, friendly way of her just to express her enthusiasm and want to engage with me. But I found myself again and again like, oh, well, what if it's not amazing to me? What do I do? Almost like being cornered. And so it's quite different if she says, "Oh my God, I love this." It's like, "Oh yeah, you love this. And you think it's amazing. Awesome." That leaves space for me to have my own experience, which is an element that I care a lot about, that we leave each other space for our respective experiences, and that it's not that we, that we don't impose one shared reality that the other one then has to obey to. And one last example, which is so, someone could say, "Oh, the weather is horrible today." No. No, like, I have a hard time with so much rain. Oh yeah, I totally get that. So when we speak of ourselves, instead of labeling something as that's the way it is, that is like, oh, and you love the rain because you needed water for your garden. Wow. Yeah. And there's all this difference in variety can be there.
Wow, I love the levels that you're talking about, and my little brain is whirring around, going, "Oh my gosh, I goodness gracious me, I do that," and I didn't even realize. So
Yes.
how did I didn't even realize that I'm imposing on someone by the choice of language that I'm using. I'm really curious, the diagram that you said that you had drawn, would you be willing to share that? Because every week when I do a podcast, I actually write an article and post it
Oh,
on my
I'm
channel. So
very.
we could add it to the article so that anyone that's interested could go and have a look at it. Because this is something definitely worth digging into and marinating in, and then reflecting on the words and the choice of words that we're using. And this isn't just for educators, this was for anybody. All walks of life. Oh, I'm so excited. Ah, oh, it's
Yeah, and I love that you're excited. And I do want to say this can be also really uncomfortable, and it's not meant to blame anyone or like you're speaking wrongly. We are all marinating in this. This is the language of our time. And like to notice, oh, I'm speaking in a way that allows less space for the other, can have that moment of even, like self-blame or discomfort. And I really wanna say, whoever dares to open themselves to that, I so want to cheer for you, because languaging, oh my God, language is a reflection of the world that we live in and how everyone talks to everybody. And when you start, when your ears become more sensitive to this, and then you hear overhear someone else's conversation and you start noticing these things. And most of the time people don't intend to impose or don't mean badly. It's just what they have learned and practiced.
I agree. And also, when you think of social media and television programs and films and things that people are being exposed to, it just embeds into the lexicon and the words that people are using, and they're not even realizing it. How many times do we actually stop and wonder or even consider the words coming out of our mouth? We're just so busy, and distracted. And I'm at the stage now that I've actually started slowing down, I'm pulling myself up on words and listening and feeling into, well, that word doesn't feel right. And I'm actually even going and looking up, what does that word actually really mean? And looking at etymology of words. And it's, oh my gosh, blowing my mind when I go, what? That's the word that I've been using every day, and it actually means this. So there's just so many layers that you can pull back on the words that we're using.
Yay.
We're programming, and our subconscious is always listening to the words that we speak to ourselves, not only the words we speak to other people, but just our self-talk is
Yes.
programming our belief systems, which then, of course, we know shapes our reality, literally shapes our reality. So
Yeah.
the depth of what you've just shared feels like it's really core and very important and something worth exploring and going deeper. I love this. Love, 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 love.
Yeah, beautiful. And I'm that you say I can even share the diagram that I'm sharing here with you. I really made it up. I sat down with my colorful colored markers to
Oh,
make this. So
yeah.
posing on top of the other, having creating a artificial we with the larger, and then there's the real we, the real we that is, oh, this is your reality, this is my reality. And then there's a larger we with all the, like a bouquet of flowers, where there are many different flowers and each shine in their own way. And then they together create something wonderful and beautiful.
Well, we'll definitely add that to the article that we publish when this airs. So I'm very excited about that. And so I am curious then, how would you suggest that we encourage children to find their own inner voice?
Depending on how young they are, they may still be connected to their inner voice. And one of the things I find it can be crucial is to let them say, like to allow them continuously speak of themselves. And not draw them into a language that distances them from themselves. So, to make that specific, let them say, I don't want that, even if you want something else. Don't try to talk them out of their wanting, but say, yeah, okay, I hear you don't want that. And this is what I want. And now, where can we find our meeting places? So, oh my God, I'm at this moment my brain is such that I'm only able to think of a German thing that children are being told when they say, I want or I don't want. You know, maybe your listeners are way beyond that state already, you know, that maybe they are happy for the children to express their desires. But this, I mean, the more we dare to speak of ourselves instead of abstract terms, like this is the right thing or the wrong thing, but to, like, this is my preference, this is your preference. Yeah, does that bring something up for you?
I think it does. I mean, every child's different, but I'm actually giggling to myself thinking about little 2-year-olds and 3-year-old children. They have no qualms saying exactly what they think. They know where they're coming from because they are really still connected to themselves. You know, they're really actually, we don't, until we program it out of them, of course. So, you know, you send them to school and then their creativity disappears and that thinking for yourselves and expressing exactly how you feel. Is sort of is socially programmed, socially engineered, really in our society, isn't it? It's a little bit sad how that happens. As long as they're not hurting or harming anybody else with the way that they're talking about, then there should be nothing wrong with speaking their truth. And I feel like that's speaking your truth and cutting straight to the heart of stating what you want is really something that is not necessarily socially acceptable today, which is very sad. Because if everybody stopped lying and just started saying it how it is, then we wouldn't have any problems. Because everyone's got so many masks, and I'm talking very generally here, and I don't mean to judge. I'm just observing that this is the way that it seems to be, and I'm totally guilty of it than myself. But you know, when you know better, you do better. So,
I've taken layer after layer, and then I was like, oh, now I'm really my authentic self. And they're like, oh, wait, there's another one. There's even another to be more authentic. And I see this with a friend of mine and her little daughter. Her little daughter is so strong, and this I want, and that I don't want. And the mother has so much of that conditioning that she wants her child to be like in her free expression, and the child continuously mirrors to her like, and you're not doing it, you know. She is kind of in a relearning program with her daughter to express her own capacities. When you just do you know the TED Talk by Sir Ken Robbins about schools and curriculum?
Yes, yes. Oh, he's such a legend. He's amazing.
This was
And
very
he wrote
opening for me.
books too. He's amazing. It actually, what you just said about the mother made me actually wonder about conditional love versus unconditional love as well, because we do put a lot of conditions on our children. Yeah, I'm just looking at the clock and we are running out of time, and I could talk to you forever. My goodness gracious me. I'm going to wrap this up with a big fat bow with a final, beautiful question from your heart to ours. Can you please share your vision? If you could reimagine all of the learning that's happening in the world right now, what is just one thing that you would really love to see happening in our learning spaces, in every country, in every household?
Oh my gosh, just one thing.
Well, it can be as many things as you want. Really, but if it was just one thing.
If it was just one thing, then I would want to see those who take leadership for the learning spaces to also follow their passion.
Oh, nice.
And plus set an example and build that world where there is more and more and more of following our passion and liberating our creativity and being our true selves, because we cannot provide such a space for children if we are not allowing it for ourselves.
Beautiful. Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. I love that, Mariah. Thank you so much for coming and talking to me this week. Absolutely gorgeous. Your energy is gorgeous, and I love everything that you've shared. I know that I'm going to go away and ponder on this and play with this. And they're always the best conversations when you feel like you've shifted and expanded. So thank you so much. Thank you
And
so much.
time flew, absolutely. It's like, what? This is half an hour.
Yes.
So much more we could talk about. I'm delighted being in your presence. I love your energy, Theresa, and I hope that your listeners will take one or two things with them that really make a difference to them. That would be wonderful.
Oh, I know they will. Absolutely. And we'll have to talk again. Absolutely. So if everybody else that's out there listening, hopefully you did get something that you can take and play with. And thank you for joining both of us at All Learning Reimagined. So until next week, we encourage you to explore, experience, express, go out and live your learning. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.